ധ്യാമോദഫലാവകുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടിക്കീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീ വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീ. We're discussing the thousand names of Devi as found in Radha Sahasranama. So today we will discuss the five names, starting from the 281st name to the 285th name. So in the previous few days, like, we have been learning about the different perspectives of the reality, and one perspective of the reality is that it is avasthatraya sakshi. It is a witness of the three avasthas, the three states that a person goes through in a particular day with respect to time. And it is also the sakshi, the substratum, the adhishthanam of all temporary objects, temporary things, not just objects, insentient objects, but chara acharam, sentient as well as insentient objects, chit and achit, all those objects, chit and jadam, it Brahman or Devi is the substratum, is the adhishthanam. And that adhishthanam is from which the entire world has come. So the activity of creation happens in the adhishthanam of Brahman or Devi. Similarly, stuti or protection also happens in Devi, and destruction also happens in Devi. That is what is explained shortly as janmadyasya yataha, janmadi asya yataha, asya this jagataha or this world's janma adi, janmam, janmam means creation, astitvam or protection, and then nasham, all those happen from whom? That is called Brahman, that is termed as Brahman, or here in this case Devi. So we learned that the three activities of srishti, sthiti and layam happen in Devi. Devi is the cause of all those, Devi is the basis of all those, Devi is the one who does it as well, and the action in itself is Devi. So karta, karanam, adhishtanam, devam, all those, everything, and phalam, those are the five aspects of karma. Karma or any action has five components to it. So one is karta, the person who is doing it, then karanam, karanam means the person, like karanam is the upakaranam or instruments that are used for the action, which is the pancha karmendriyas, and then adhishtanam, the substratum, because karma is something which is changing, there should be a changeless substratum, therefore adhishtanam, and then devam, the aspect of fate or a storage of karma or previous karma, we can call sanchitam, we can say devam, and then finally phalam or the fruit. So all these five aspects, all these are important in karma, are there in karma, but the most important is the adhishtanam in which all these happen. So Devi is karta, Devi is karanam, Devi is adhishtanam, Devi is devam, Devi is phalam as well, because Devi is a substratum. It is in the substratum that everything is seen. It is in the dreamer that everything that happens in the dream, the entire dream world as well as the activities happening in the dream world, all those happen in the dreamer. Without the dreamer, all those don't have any existence. So those three actions or three types of actions that we discussed are srishti, sthiti and layam, which are the states of anything in the world. So those are, the world itself has those three states. That is in itself Devi, because that happens in the substratum of Devi. We also learned as to how a person can go beyond the temporary states, beyond the three temporary states. So as long as we are the karta, as long as we seek a phalam, will be limited. We will have a janma, we will have a srishti, we will have a sthiti, and we will have a layam. So janma will appear to be really good. So we'll get something very new. So after tomorrow we may think, oh, I have learned 5 more namas of Lalita Sahasranama. That is a janma of knowledge. So janma, we become very happy with the janma, and then we are able to sustain it for some time. But is it permanent? It is not permanent, because it is a product of the mind. Anything that happens, that comes out of the mind, is not permanent, because the mind itself is not permanent. So there will be nasham. So at the time of Srishti, things will appear to be really beautiful. So when a child is born, parents are very, very happy with respect to that. But, and when the child is under their care for 15, 20 years, parents are very happy. After that, what happens? Oh, my child doesn't do what I tell it to do. That means nasham of the child happens from our heart, from our mind. And for a person, like when the child dies young, there are many people who die very young. Even when the parents or grandparents are there, still the child dies. So when death happens, everything vanishes. So during Srishti and Sthiti, everything seems to be really beautiful, everything seems to be really blissful, but when Nasham comes, everything vanishes. So that shouldn't be the state. So we shouldn't, as long as we get attached to Janma and Sthiti, or we get blissful, we rejoice, or we become joyous during Srishti and Sthiti, we are prone to get sad during Nasham. So wherever Sukham is there, Dukkham is also prone to come, to follow it. Then how can we get rid of it? A person has to go beyond duality, Dvandva Bhavam. Nirdvandva. So Nirdvandva Moha. So Dvandva Bhavam, we have to get rid of Dvandva Bhavam, or dual notions like Sukha, Dukkham, etc. We have to go beyond them. So we have to go beyond Janma, we have to go beyond Astitvam, we have to go beyond Mrityu or Nasham. And that can happen by surrendering on to Devi, by completely focusing ourselves on Devi rather than anything else. We can do that. And when that happens, when we seek something that which is beyond these three, that which is a substratum of these three, which is Devi, then all these three will vanish. Tirodhanam will happen, the fourth action of Tirodhanam, and then Anugraham of Anandam will happen. But if it has to happen, we have to get over the three, Srishti, Sthiti and Layam. We have to get over. How can we get over Srishti, Sthiti, Layam? The only way to get over Srishti, Sthiti, Layam is to see everything as one entity. Everything as Devi. If everything is Devi, then we cannot say, my parents have to take care of my parents. Any minute we say that my parents, everything goes. There is no going beyond at all. We will be bound by Srishti, Sthiti and Layam. And when that parents vanish, things will go really bad. It will become so bad that we will not even remember that we learned Vedanta. That's what will happen. So if we should remember, like we don't learn various stories. We don't hear various Puranic stories as well as stories narrated by Mahatmas like Amma and others. Just smile and laugh at that time and then forget it. Those stories are meant to show us as to what can happen. So King Bharata was a devout person. He was devoted to Ishvara, but he didn't know the truth. And what happened? In just one moment, he got attached to the deer. So that one attachment, though he was a devoted person, that one attachment was enough to make him take birth two more times in order to get moksha. That is what happened. So he was a devoted person. Even for him, that one moment of attachment caused him to fall down. So what would happen with us? We are not devoted like him, because we claim that we are, oh, I will listen to your words, I will listen to Amma's words. Do we really do that? We don't do that. We just go by our instincts. We just go by what is good for us. We sit amidst all the pleasures in a beautiful apartment, in a beautiful house, with all the other pleasures that we have, and a huge amount of money coming to our bank account. We sit amidst all these pleasures, and still we are not able to get rid of the pleasure, or at least not getting rid of the pleasure. Are we seeking the truth? We are not able to do that as well. It's one thing to just get rid of attachment. That we can say, okay, people can understand that it is very tough. But are we seeking the truth? No, we don't. We seek the truth only when it is fine for us. Okay, when I am free, I will learn Vedanta. When I am not free, oh, no, I am busy now. Why are you busy? I have to take care of some things. Why do you have to take care of that? Is that more important than Vedanta? Yes, Amma said it. Amma said so. So that is what we do. We just blame it on to Mahatmas like Amma. We know that they are not going to come to us and say, okay, why did you blame me? How dare you blame me? They won't do that because they know. But who is the real loser in all this? Like, who is going to lose as a result of the attachment, as a result of the blame? Who is going to lose by not implementing Vedanta when we have all the pleasures of life? When our life is really good, we have our parents, we have our siblings, we have everything, we have money, we have everything in life that is required for us to lead a normal life, normal, peaceful life. So that is the best situation, best environment to start implementing Vedanta. So if we don't do it, like, we should look around people who are suffering. We worry about, like, our parents. We worry that we have to repay loans for our parents. But do we notice the huge amount of people or the huge number of people who don't even have homes, who stay, like, wherever they are, refugee shelters? We should look around all those. Like, we don't do that. But what do? We can't learn Vedanta. Vedanta is fine. That is secondary for me. It gives me a little bit pleasure if I learn Lalita Sahasranama daily. It gives me pleasure if I listen to your words on Lalita Sahasranama. Therefore, I listen. After that, what happens? Nothing. Everything vanishes. Vedanta goes down the drain. That is what is happening with us. Okay, nobody is going to complain. I am not going to complain. I am not complaining as well. Amma will not complain. Shankara will not complain. And who, like, the person or who is giving this instruction, he also will not complain. And Devi also will not complain. But then who is going to be the real loser? We are going to be the real losers if we don't really implement. If we go till learning Mandukya Upanishad and still aren't able to get rid of attachment, it's a pity on us. It's like a person who has SCJP, not just SCJP, he has other, we can consider it as a person who has Oracle certification. He has Oracle certification, but still he cannot join two tables. He cannot write a query to fetch data from two tables. If we cannot do that, what is the point of that knowledge? It's of no use. It's not only of no use, but it's going to be more problem for the person, because when he goes somewhere, somebody will say, okay, you know Oracle, so explain to me this. Then we will not be able to explain. And even leave that out. If we think, like, okay, I want to start learning now, and if we go to a person and say, okay, then now teach me Oracle, he will laugh at us and say, okay, are you trying to fool around with me? You already know. You are an Oracle certified professional. So you are playing around with me. I cannot teach you. That is what will happen. And that will happen with Vedanta as well. Okay, Vedanta is available in books. But if it is available in books, then why do we have to go to Mahatmas like Amma? We don't even have to go to Mahatmas like Amma. The very reason that we are going to Mahatmas like Amma is because it is also like any other knowledge. It cannot be learned just by books. It cannot be learned just by mere listening. It can only be learned when we implement. When we implement Vedanta, that's the only time. Or we can say, unfortunately, that Vedanta is the only thing in the entire world where implementation matters the most. In worldly life also it matters, but we can adjust around, we can work around. Like, we have people around us Oh, I don't know driving. I have got a driver's license, but I don't know driving. Still fine. We can say, oh, my dear friend, like, can you please drive me around for one day? I'm feeling a little bit tired. The friend will say, okay, fine. Okay, you are my friend. Won't I do even do this for you? He will drive. So in worldly things, there are workaround, but nobody can walk us through Vedanta. Nobody can walk us through realization because it has to happen for ourselves. In realization, as Amma says, in realization there is no bandham, there is no sammoham, there is no sangam, because nissangam, a person has to get detached from all attachments. And at that moment, when we start learning Vedanta or implementing Vedanta, if we speak about my parents, my people, my duty, my bondage, etc., nobody is going to help us. Not even the so-called red-robed saints cannot help us. If they can help us, let them give you moksha. I'll be the first person to be very happy about it. But that's not how it works. It's not my words. Krishna says, Uddhared Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasadayet. A person realizes by himself. Yoga Vasishtha says, in many other places as well, that Swaprayatnam, one's own effort is required. Manu also says, he says there are four components, four quartlets or whatever, padas to jnanam, and one of that is our own effort, our own buddhi, our own intellect. Without that, like, nobody can give us moksha. Nobody can guarantee moksha to us. Nobody can do that. Nobody will do that. A real Mahatma will not do that. So if somebody is making such claims, know for sure that such person is going to let go of us. Such person is only just trying to work around. Such person will not be there with us till the end. There's only one person who will be there with us till the end, that are jnanis, that are real Mahatmas like Amma. Even when we do the worst things in life, even when we abuse Amma, or like when we say good to Amma, the very next day, like we abuse Amma one day and the very next day we go to Amma, Amma will welcome us with a smiling face and happily. And not just like Balakrishna Nair, Amma will not just say everything is Brahman, why have to worry? She will go one step further in telling that, okay, are you in trouble? Let me try to help you. And she will help us. That is what if we look around, or if we try to analyze our own life, we will find that whatever, wherever we are now, it's only because of Amma's grace that we are learning Lalita Sahasranama. That itself is a fact, that it's only because of Amma's grace. Because we don't have eligibility even to do this. Shankara says that sadhananyatra chatvari katitani manishibihi yeshu satsveva sannishtha yadabhavena siddhyati. There are four things, sadhana chatushtayam, which are essential. Without that, there cannot be any moksham. We can go on learning, and like the red robed saints, we can claim, we can say that, okay, this is moksha, you will get moksha. You will not get moksha if you don't do this. You will get moksha if you do this. There is nothing like that for moksha. Moksha is like the statement that Swarajyam, it is my birthright. Freedom is my birthright. Freedom is our birthright. Or freedom or moksha is our birthright, because we are muktas. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swabhavam. So after preaching Bhagavad Gita with Shankara Bhashyam and all, still claiming that, okay, you will not get moksha if you do this, such a person doesn't really know the import of the scriptures. And there is no point blaming such a person, as Amrita Sripanda says. There is no point in blaming such a person. We should be blamed for giving our life onto the hand of such a Mahatma. Krishna himself doesn't say that. We are to be blamed to give our life, give the key of our mind to such Mahatmas or so-called Mahatmas. So nobody can help us. We have to start implementing Vedanta. If we don't do that, we'll still be in Srishti Sthiti and Nasham, or Srishti Sthiti Layam. We will be in that, and as long as we are in that, nobody can help us. This daily learning of Lalita Sahasranama will only help boost our ego, and then like we will claim, okay, can we discuss? That is what will happen. We will want to discuss whenever we want. So that is not how Vedanta works. Like that's the reason why even Mundaka Upanishad Tejo Mananda would have explained in Mahasamadhi camp, that Mundakopanishad itself says that Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedaya Na Bahuna Shrutena. Now I am Atma Pravachanena Labhyaha. It cannot be, this Atman cannot be realized through Pravachanam. Giving, I have given discourses for 5 years on Lalita Sahasranama. That will not make us realized. Na Medaya, by one's own intellect. I have a strong intellect. I can learn Advaita Siddhi of Madhusudana Saraswati. That also will not. Na Bahuna Shrutena. I've been listening Vedanta for 5 years. That will also not give us. Yameveshya Vrinute Tena Labhyaha. A person who really seeks, who has the desire, the strong desire that I want this, I want moksha, whatever comes in my way, I'm going to set it aside. Only that person, for such person, the Atman will realize, or not realize, sorry, Atman will show, reveal its own nature. And that is what Bharata did. Like, he realized, he repented for his mistake, and as a result of that, he decided that he will not speak, he will live like an insentient being, because else attachment will come. So if for Bharata himself, he couldn't get out of attachments, one small attachment was enough to pull him down, then for us, we can just imagine. And there is no point coming to me daily and saying, okay, I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to implement, I will implement, I will implement. There's no point of telling to me. Nobody needs to convince me. We have to convince ourselves. We have to convince the one person who is witnessing everything, which is Devi. Devi is witnessing Sarvajna. Devi is witnessing everything. Devi is witnessing everything. Therefore, we cannot fool around her. So Devi is witnessing. We have to convince Devi. And convincing such a person who knows everything is not an easy task. We cannot fool around. Either we really convince Devi by complete surrender, or we don't. And that complete surrender doesn't mean we have to get rid of everything, but we surely do have to get rid of attachment. If such a person, such a all-knowing Devi is there in the form of Amma with us, then it's only a fool who will say, oh, I cannot learn Vedanta now, I have to set aside Vedanta because I have to repay my loans to my parents. Only a fool will say that. Such a person will have no gati in many more births to come. So he will not have any gati, because after having a person like Amma who is all-knowing, what is the point of holding on? So Draupadi tried to hold on to her sari, thinking that, okay, she will call Ishvara. That is the state we are. We know everything, like we are still hanging on to things, thinking that Amma will protect us. Amma cannot protect us. Like Krishna, Amma cannot protect us because we are holding on to our things. And we are like Dhritarashtra, clinging on to our attachment. We know that this is not right, this is adharma. It is adharma to let go of Vedanta, not adharma to not implement Vedanta for the sake of people around us, for the sake of all attachments. We know that, but still we commit the mistake, and we will have the same gati as Dhritarashtra. And if we think we can just call Amma, and at the same time internally be attached to our parents and people around us, that is not possible. It's not possible. Why is it not possible? Because she knows everything. Oh, even if she knows everything, still we can, like, there must be some way to divert Devi's attention. So that is not possible. Why? Om Unmesha Nimishotpanna Vipanna Bhuvana Valyai Namaha. So Devi's eyelids, Unmesha Nimisham. So Unmesha Nimisham means, opening of eyes, Nimisham means closing of eyes. During that time, Unmesha Nimisham, Devi's closing and opening and closing of eyes, Kanchimakkal, or like just blinking of the eye, one blink of Devi's eye, Utpanna Vipanna, Utpannam, creation, Vipannam, destruction, Bhuvanam, of the Bhuvanam happens. By Avali, Avali means Devi's eyelids. So we cannot fool Devi, because Devi's one blink creates and destroys the entire world. That means in between that time, she doesn't blink her eyes. So if she doesn't blink her eyes, that means she is always watching. We cannot fool around. Instead, if we seek Devi, if we seek Devi, Devi will say, okay, sit on my lap. Come on, come sit on my lap. Like when I close and open my eyes, still you will remain behind. You will not be part of the created and destroyed world because you are with me now. So be with me. So we should be bold enough to do that. Ramakrishna Paramahansa shows us as to how to do. Though he was one with Devi, but still he considered himself as a child, as a devotee of Devi. Such a great Mahatma shows us as to how we have to live in the world. But we go, like we weekly visit such missions, but we are not able to implement it. We go there, like we see something, we eat something, we come back something, say hi bye to people and say Om Namah Shivaya, Hari Om to people, and then come back without even bothering to implement. But what does his life show? He shows that if we have surrendered to Devi, we don't even need full jnanam. We just need that surrender. Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat. So we just need to have that surrender. Devi will make us sit on her lap, and she will take us through all the trouble. So what will she make us realize? What will we realize when we sit on Devi's lap? When we sit on Devi's lap, when the child surrenders to his parents, what happens there is the child sees from the eyes of the parents. Child's vision becomes the vision of the parents. That's the reason why we shouldn't have attachment to our parents or anybody else. The moment we get attached, we see from the other person's perspective. We would have seen love movies and all, when one person does what the other person wants. Why? Because they have that attachment. So attachment to people around us, why does it make us fall down? Because we see like they see. So the moment we surrender to our parents, we see from their eyes. So if we surrender onto Devi, if we are Devi's children, if we are sitting on the lap of Devi, we will see through Devi's eyes, like through Devi's eyes. What will we see? Om Sahasra Shirsha Vadanaya Namaha, Om Sahasra Akshe Namaha, Om Sahasra Pade Namaha. So Sahasra Shirsha Vadana, Sahasram, when we see from Devi's eyes, Sahasra Shirsha Vadana, 1,000 heads and 1,000 faces, we will see that Devi has 1,000 heads and 1,000 faces. So when we are with Devi, when we have surrendered to Devi, so generally when we surrender to our parents, we will see from our parents' perspective, that means our parents' vision. So our parents' vision is dual vision because they see duality. But what is Devi's vision? Devi sees herself everywhere. That's the reason why Amma is able to help everyone, because she sees herself everywhere. So when Devi sees herself everywhere, she sees her own form of 1,000 heads, 1,000 faces, Sahasra Akshe Namaha, she 1,000 eyes, Sahasra Pade Namaha, 1,000 feet. So what do these denote? These denote that 1,000 is just a figurative way of putting it, that everything is Devi. So that is what, everything is part of Devi. Part of Devi means everything is Devi. Even as in dream world, everybody seem to be our friends. There are enemies as well, but those enemies also will, whatever desires we have, like whatever we say to the enemy, enemy go away, enemy will go away. So that is what will happen. So everything is Devi. So that is the vision of Devi. The vision of Devi is 1,000. Devi is 1,000 headed, 1,000 faced, everything. Which means that everything is Devi. Everything is part of Devi. Everything is Devi alone. And why is everything Devi? Why is the vision of Devi everything Devi? Because Om Abrahma Keta Jananyai Namaha. Devi is Abrahma Keta Janani. Brahma, from Brahma, Keta. Keta means like a small worm. So from Brahma, biggest being in the entire world, which is Brahma, to the smallest being, kidam, a worm or bacteria. So everything, for everything, Devi is Janani. So she is Janani. Janani doesn't mean that she is just gave birth to them. It means that it is from her that everything came, which means everything is pervaded by her. Everything is pervaded by Devi. So since Devi is the Janani of everything, therefore vision of Devi is oneness. We will get that vision when we surrender on to Devi. We cannot fool around Devi. When we surrender, we will see oneness everywhere. And when we see oneness everywhere, there will be only Anandam everywhere. We will be have a blessed and blissed life. That is what will happen. And also we don't have to worry when we surrender, because Devi is the Janani of everything. Whether people worship Devi or not, irrespective of that, Devi is the Janani. If Devi is the mother, if we are able to take care of our parents, worry about our parents, and our parents are ready, our parents are not ready, but our parents are worrying about us, then wouldn't Devi worry about everything? So a wise person will surrender on to Devi for all of these reasons, for n number of reasons. A wise person, wisdom is when a person surrenders on to Devi. And if we don't do that, we are not wise. Oh, I agree, I am not wise. So there is no point in agreeing things. There is no point in agreeing that, oh, like if we talk to a drunkard, he will say, okay, I agree, like drinking is really bad. So we will see people going to many places, like, and we'll see like great people or so-called great people giving advice or going on the dais and saying, oh, smoking is really bad for health. It has so many bad things. This, that, you will get lung cancer. You will injure other people. It is harmful to other people. This, that. And finally, when everything is over, oh, do you have a matchstick? So that is what will happen. So there is no point of saying, I know, like, I am incapable. I am ineligible. There is no point of telling all those. It is what really matters is not telling or acknowledging fact. A wise person doesn't just acknowledge fact, he tries to implement, make the fact part of his life. It is a fact. It is a fact that it is a fact that if we put our hand on into fire, it will burn. A wise person will not stop there. A wise person will say, okay, it is a fact that if I put my hand on in fire, it will burn, therefore I will not put my hand. So that is a wise person. So there is no real difference between a person who says, who doesn't know that fire will burn, and a person who knows it will burn but still he puts into it. So there is no point in that. So we have to try to get that surrender. Like, we don't need to worry about anything, like our parents, our loan, our this thing, our that thing. We don't need to worry about anything, because ah, Brahma Keta Janani. There's no point of learning Lalita Sahasranama if after learning these namas, we worry about things. Like, we worry that, oh, I have to take care of my parents. Oh, my father text me. He SMS'd me. Therefore, I have to call immediately. So all those, oh, that is fine. From tomorrow, I will not call immediately when you are there. When you are not there, I will call immediately. So that is not what is required. As I said, We cannot fool around Devi. We can fool around everybody around us. Amma will also, like, we can fool Amma as well. So we may think like that we have fooled Amma. We have fooled many people. But have we really fooled? Or is Amma just acting like a fool? So Krishna knew that Arjuna would forget after teaching the entire Bhagavad Gita, he'll forget. But still, was Krishna a fool or Arjuna a fool? Krishna knew it, but still he laughed inside while doing all those. So Amma will laugh inside. She will not lose anything. It is just a play for her. As Amma said, Ishvara's play. Ishvara likes to play quite a lot. So he will just laugh. Oh, I didn't have fun for many days. And he will laugh heartily at our expense, and we will think that, oh, poor Ishvara. We will be thinking Ishvara will have fun, and later also he will have fun, but now we will laugh at Ishvara. Later, when things go bad, we will be forced to cry. We will be forced to cry, and then feel like again go back to Ishwara and say, oh Ishwara, why the hell did you do this? How dare you let me go? Oh, Amma is testing me. Why is Amma testing, giving me all these problems? Amma is causing all the problems. That is what will happen. So we will start blaming Ishwara, and in that blame also Ishwara will laugh inside. Devi will laugh inside thinking, oh, he's a fool. He's thinking that by blaming me, he can get rid of the blame or get rid of the sorrow. Okay, if he thinks, okay, let me help him in getting rid of sorrow for some time. Anyway, I am laughing inside. So temporarily, we will get rid of sorrow. Again tomorrow, something else comes up and life will become really a waste. And when we end our life, it'll become a real waste. So even the tiniest attachment or the very, very small attachment, oh, it's only for small period of time. Even that can cause big trouble in life. And it can make us take birth again and again. Now, it won't stop with this birth. If we think we can get moksha by couple of births, it will extend it by like 20, 30 or 100 births. And nobody is to blame for that, because we have everything in life. We have a peaceful life. We have a good environment, conducive environment wherein we can seek Ishwara. We have knowledge as well. But if we don't implement, if we don't gain that surrender, that chitta shuddhi, purity of mind by surrendering, chitta ekagrata, or focus of the mind again by surrendering, and then jnanam we already have. So if we don't do that, nobody is to be blamed but us. So though we have everything in our midst, like we have, it's like telling that I have the fruit near my mouth, but I cannot eat it. So that is what will happen. Like diabetic people telling, oh, I have, there are a lot of sweets in my home, but I cannot eat anything. That is the case, what will happen. So if that shouldn't happen, we have to get that surrender, complete surrender onto Devi. So may Amma bless us that we make a complete surrender today itself. Namaskar.